Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
The world continues to spin, and we are back here. We'll be here from 10 to 1. It's very strange because our world is always this playland where we talk about how could the Mets have sent a runner with, you know, one out and sent him home to try and tie the game, and you know, why would the Giants run it on 3rd and 11? And that's the escape to the norm in reality. And Chris, the escape is no longer escape. Real world is really, I mean, with Corona and everything else going on right now, really completely pervaded where we are as a sports talk show.
Yeah, we're in a different place as a country, Dave. And I'll say this, even though we've gone through a pandemic and we've lived the last 2 weeks, George Floyd's murder and then the fallout from that, I will say this. I'm more optimistic and more upbeat than I have been in the past few weeks. And here's why, Dave. Because we don't have live team sports, we have an opportunity to address something that we've collectively tried to look the other way and not pay a lot of attention to, because it makes people feel uncomfortable, and that is the issue of race and inequality in this country. And in light of recent events, we've had the opportunity to discuss it. But beyond that, Dave, just to see the response throughout this country and really globally, because I saw protests in London, I saw protests in Amsterdam,
France,
about George Floyd and his murder at the hands of law enforcement, and people speaking out, the public outcry for justice. And I'm encouraged today. You know, I've been down the last couple of days, and I apologize to you guys for that. But, Dave, I'm optimistic because when I look at these protests, I look at these demonstrations, it's not just black people. You've got everybody represented in those protests in this country. And it just feels like we're all standing up at the same time and saying, this is not right. We've got to do something about it. The time is now. Even Shaquille O'Neal said it. He said, this is probably the first time in his lifetime where these type of demonstrations and protests are happening everywhere. And I'm just thankful that the athletes, the coaches, the people that are in and around sports are using their platforms or trying to use their platforms to shed light on this issue and force people to talk about it, because it starts with being able to have the conversation and dialogue. We all understand it needs to end up into doing things that are constructive, doing things that are actionable items in order to be able to affect the change we want to see long term. But that doesn't happen unless we can actually sit down and talk with one another so everybody can understand the perspectives that are at the table.
Yeah, it does. It feels like people are standing up and trying to take action. And we say, as we always do, good morning to Rick. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing all right. I mean, I've come to the point now where I'm actually using John Winthrop's Disney Mum Lives to cheer me up on a regular basis. That's where I'm at.
If the world wasn't where it is,
I resorted to that.
We would probably be spending full segments on our assistant program director's Disney videos that he posts to social media.
No, not just Disney. I mean, this is Disney. You get Disney updates, but yeah, I mean, you learn how to make sensory bags. I mean, this is all inclusive.
It's really, you can find your way through life with the John Winthrop steps and methods.
And I didn't realize how many Disney T-shirts he actually has. Like he must have a whole closet.
I mean, he proposed. I hate to get off the topic. I apologize, but he proposed on Splash Mountain at Disney.
No, he didn't.
I swear.
So he's those people when you go to Disney, and we went for the first time.
He is that person. He's that person that you would go to Disney, and you would see him and be like, boy, that guy really loves Disney.
Yeah, like he's the reason why you're sitting in line for 45 minutes with your kids to take a picture with Mickey and Minnie, because he's there with no kids.
Yes, yes, 100%. He's that guy. Yeah.
Is he walking around with the fanny pack, Dave?
All of it. You know the final drop of Splash Mountain? That's where, you know, that wild splash and then it ends and the whole thing. That's where he held up a sign that said, will you marry me, on that final drop.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
See, but this is what we're talking about, getting to know your teammates, getting to know the people around you that you associate with. I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea about these videos until Hurley told me about it.
Oh,
and now I'm
greatest.
Addicted.
I mean, listen, it feels inappropriate to send them out now, but during normal times, I have actually copied them, pasted them, and sent them out and said, please do yourself a favor and watch this because it's the greatest thing you've ever seen.
I can't get enough of him. I'm completely like, even his voice, all of it. I love
it. He's so excited. Ding the red button.
Give us a thumbs up.
And don't forget to follow us.
Your kid may like blue like the sky, or green like the grass, or pink like the flowers. And yeah. Then you just take the, and then we use the duct tape to tie it all up. And there you go. There's a sensory bag. It's wonderful.
It is the greatest. So how was your venture to the supermarket yesterday?
I can't be trusted. Officially, I might tap out. I mean, under the current circumstances, I have to go. But, I mean, I got verbally berated by some old guy yesterday. Like, actually takes the time to stop me and sternly talk to me and ask me why I had so much in my cart. And I felt like, I mean, I almost, if I wasn't so worn down, I would have,
why,
I mean, it could have led to a fight.
Why is his business what you have in your cart?
Exactly right. I mean, in the amount of people that are just, one lady, full mask and gloves, has an orchid in one item in her shopping cart. She went to the store for an orchid and the Whole Foods for an orchid, and then I don't even know what the item was. But that was it. Two items. I have no interest in going back for weeks. I'm not going there to, you know, casually shop. I'm on a mission. I need one of something. No, I'm getting two. I don't want to go back. And this guy was like, who are you feeding, an army? I was like, well, first of all, I mean, yeah, me, I eat like I'm in, like, more than one person, so I'm getting a lot of stuff. But don't judge me because you're not buying a lot of stuff. Plus, I got a broken toe. You guys wouldn't let me take my scooter, so I'm hopping around the grocery store.
The scooter was very unnecessary.
I think the scooter would have led to more problems than it solved.
Yeah, that would have been a problem. Like, if he verbally berated me on the scooter.
The old man would have destroyed you if you were on a scooter. He didn't even like
it. But it's my own scooter, though. Yeah, but it's my own scooter. Don't judge me. It's my own scooter. I'm not taking a car from someone else. I'm bringing my own scooter.
We're not judging you. We're just trying to save you from you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to protect the player from himself.
People are so judgy.
Yeah,
I got flames on that thing. I got my initials.
Yeah, I would absolutely judge you if I saw you pull up to the grocery store in a scooter that had flames on the side of it. I'm going to judge the hell out of you.
Can't think. I actually crashed that thing. I almost broke that. Oh, yeah. Right into the island. I was a little bit banged up one night. Trying to show off to the wife.
But that's why we're saying you shouldn't take it to the grocery store.
We're honest with you. You can't be driving your own personal scooter around the store.
You're probably right, and that's why I didn't do it. That's why I love you guys, because you guys shoot me straight. You guys are honest with me. And can I be honest for a quick second?
Yeah, we'd love
that. What makes me sick to my stomach? I mean, we're sitting about talking, and in you know, how powerful this movement is, peaceful protest.
I know where you're going to go. Go ahead.
The people that are using this as photo ops, have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
That'll get out of their car, run in front of a store that's being boarded up, get back into their Mercedes and drive off? Yeah.
But did you see the one video where she's like, Can I hold the drill so it looks like I'm helping?
Yep.
And then takes the picture and gets back in the car.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. I mean, we're a country of hundreds of millions, though. For all the good and honorable and decent people, and there are plenty, you're going to get people that are very off.
Yeah, but you can't forgive ignorance, though, Dave. That's just ignorant.
I'm not saying you can forgive it, but to expect we have this many people that you're not going to get it, I think is unrealistic. You're going to get a lot of things that make you scratch your head from all sorts of people.
Doesn't mean I'm going to like it or accept it.
Well, you don't have to like it, and you don't have to accept it.
I was repulsed by it.
As you should be. As you should be. Let's get it. Let's start to dive into the world of sports. We'll get to the NBA. Well, of course, we got our normal staples, Andy from Merrick. I don't think you like Andy anymore, by the way, Rick.
No, I like Andy. Yeah. I mean, I think Andy works for you. I think he's in your. I mean, I think
how so?
On the payroll.
How so?
Andy's on the take.
How so?
Because I think he's. I mean, he's used as a vehicle for you to accentuate your greatness. Is what he is.
Do you want to stop Andy?
That segment is the Last Dance. That's the perfect way to explain
it. Listen, we all have our strengths on the show, right? We all have our strengths. My strength is just having knowledge about lots of things, and trivia is one of my strengths. So obviously the segment is going to be something I'm going to probably be the best at. Why you have to frown on that is beyond me.
See, I'm not
Dave,
frowning.
The way you say it, though, it just feels a little snarky, though. Obviously,
so
I'm going to be the best at it.
So
if you're the best at it, you don't have to say you're the best. Everybody already knows.
Well, I wasn't bringing it. I just want to see why he's so turned off by the segment, which has become, you know, rave reviews from people out there in Radio Land.
I'm not turned off by it. I mean, do I enjoy doing it? Yeah, I enjoy doing it. It's not my favorite thing to do. I'm not a big trivia guy. Like between the concussions
fun.
And everything
three
else,
of us work together as teammates. I think there's a lot to that segment. It's quick.
I will say this: if I were as good at trivia as Dave Rothenberg was, I would be a big trivia guy. I'm just not a big trivia guy because I'm not very good at it.
Well, regardless,
listen, I agree with you 100%. I'm not great at trivia either.
You guys,
but it's entertaining though.
So Andy's going to join us at 10:52, like he always does. We're going to do cuddle, marry, trash at 11:30. Knobservation
Andy live,
at 12:30.
Andy live from next door to Dave's house, where he lives.
See, there
it's
you
Dave's
go.
Dave's best buddy.
See, I think I think that there's an issue here, and I think we're gonna get to the bottom of it at some point.
Don, there's no issue.
You have a real problem with that segment, and I don't know why. All right, so we got the Knicks to get into. We got the return to the NBA to get into.
He just sent me the picture.
I
That's
told
the first
you.
Thing. He did it with a sign.
Didn't I just say that?
Oh my god! Yeah, but you say it, and I kind of didn't believe it till you now. You're gonna see it.
Did I? I did it perfect justice.
Oh my!
They, as they're on the bottom, I just told you they're on the bottom drop of Splash Mountain, and he holds up a sign that says "Marry Me."
It's too much. I can't take it.
I know. It's
I can't
a lot
take
to handle.
It. You just
it's
lost funny. Me. I'm done for the segment. I'm just going to be staring at this picture.
It's okay. We got a lot to get into. So let's start out with this. And I can't believe, Chris, that with everything going on, with the fact that the NFL was on the verge of instituting an advantage if you hired a minority as a coach or a general manager, that Vic Fangio is A, so tone deaf and believes that racism and issues like this don't really exist in the NFL. I can't believe that he would say something like this.
I can't believe it either, Dave, but I don't want to kill Vic Fangio because unless he speaks, we don't know what he doesn't know. And the reality is that there are a lot of Americans that are ignorant when it comes to the conversation of race, and nobody wants to be viewed as the problem, and people aren't in a hurry to start dialogue or start conversation from fear that they will be criticized the way that Vic Fangio was being criticized this morning. So I just don't want to go there. The one thing that I will say is that it's clear that when things don't directly affect you, it's harder to have an understanding for it, and it's even harder to want to be able to go to fight for it. And I think that's where we are when it comes to racism in this country. Now, as far as what's going on in the NFL, you would like Vic Fangio to have a little more awareness because we are weeks removed from the conversation about revamping the Rooney Rule. Because we are having the conversation about what happened to Colin Kaepernick a couple of years ago and how he was blackballed. How he essentially lost his livelihood because he wanted to peacefully protest racial inequality and injustice in the criminal justice system. So I don't understand why he can't look at those two things that are within his realm of his job and recognize that even in the NFL, as great as it is, to have all of these different people from different backgrounds be able to come together and work together for a common goal, we're not perfect because we're people and we live in this society. So I just think that this is one of those things where everybody has got to realize we've all got to do the work in order to fight racial discrimination, in order to fight injustice in this country. If we all don't do the work, then we're not going to get anywhere. And so I think that's really the thing to come out of this. For Vic Fangio, I think it's a teachable moment for everybody.
But I think this goes to what we talked about yesterday, why this is sometimes an uncomfortable conversation. Because, I mean, due to lack of experience, I mean, Vic Fangio, I mean, he's giving you his opinion, is seen through his eyes.
Yeah.
And what I didn't like about the statement was exactly what you just said. It's the lack of awareness. I mean, you're the leader of men. That's your job. I mean, that's what you do as a head coach. And coming off the heels of the Rooney Rule and trying to incentivize teams to hire, you know, men of color, like at least be aware of that when you speak. I mean, and when you listen to or read some of the stuff he said too, he's a little bit all over the place too. I mean, talking about treason and everything else. But you know, the one takeaway, Chris, that I got out of what Vic Fangio said is that it still to this day makes no sense to me why we're not further along as far as having men of color in positions of power in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're hustling backwards, Rico, not to cut you off, but when I came into the NFL in 2005, there were 6 black head coaches. Today there are 3. Now, I know they instituted the Rooney Rule in the early 2000s, and it was meant to get black coaches more opportunities to have these jobs high up in organizations, whether it's with general manager spots or head coaching spots. But it just doesn't feel like we're there yet, and I think that's in part because the black coaches' first opportunity to rub shoulders with the decision makers of teams, whether it's team presidents or team owners, is throughout the interview process. And something about that has to change. And I think that everybody in the situation has to be proactive. And if we take a step back and look at our society as a whole, I think in order to fight racism, everybody's going to have to get involved. I mean, the seeds of racism go back 400 years. I mean, since the inception of this country. I mean, before we were a country, there was brutality against black Americans. We weren't even looked at as people once upon a time, Rick. So I think in order to try to fight that, I think people have to be educated on it. That means reading. That means talking to other people, getting other perspectives, because there is no excuse anymore. You've seen the videos on the news. You've seen the people protesting and demonstrating. If you're ignorant on the subject matter now, that's because you're choosing to turn a blind eye to it, and I don't think that's something that any American can stand for.
But the thing that bothers me so much, and to read a couple of quotes that he has, and this is Vic Fangio, head coach of the Denver Broncos, I think our problems in the NFL along those lines are minimal. We're a league of meritocracy. You earn what you get. You get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. And then this really I don't know, Chris, this really bothers me. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal. We all intermingle and mix tremendously fine. If society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great. Well, they told you last week that they're thinking of implementing something that says you're going to be rewarded for hiring a minority coach. So how is everything great? It just, and you're very respectful the way you discuss him. It feels so tone deaf to me what he said.
It is a little bit tone deaf, Dave, but you got to think about it from his vantage point, right? He's saying that the NFL is the ultimate meritocracy. Well, you mean to tell me that there aren't more than 3 black men in the league that deserve to be head coaches? There are only 2 black personnel evaluators that deserve to be general managers? No, that's not the reality of it. If it was the ultimate meritocracy, we would see more of men of color at the top of these organizations' hierarchies, but that's not the way it works. But again, if you're Vic Fangio, do you really want to believe that? Do you really want to believe it's not just your hard work that gave you an opportunity to become a head coach in the NFL? No, you don't want to believe that, but that goes back to my earlier point. Nobody wants to be viewed as a part of the problem, and nobody wants to look at their success and say that maybe it might have something to do with my skin color. That was the whole conversation with the Rooney Rule. We were talking about incentivizing teams, and a lot of black coaches in the NFL came out and said, I don't like that idea, because of the perception that it might not just be about my hard work or the quality of how I do my job, but it could be because of my skin color. I mean, conversely, when you look at their white counterparts, white head coaches don't want to acknowledge that, yeah, my whiteness helped me elevate to this status. But we have to get beyond that, Dave. My thing is we have to be able to get past that part of it and recognize this is bigger than ourselves. Get over yourself and realize that racism in this country is a real thing in all walks of life, in all professions. And until we're willing to acknowledge that, until we're willing to call it what it is, we're not going to be able to work past it. So that's why I don't want to crush Vic Fangio. I think this is a teachable moment.
Yeah, I think to Dave's point, though, I mean, under the circumstances with what's gone on over the last couple of weeks with the Rooney Rule and everything else, you would expect, even if that's not how you feel, and clearly that's not how he feels, or, I mean, he's trying to portray this is how I run the Denver Broncos.
Which may be true.
Exactly right, but he's not just speaking for the Denver Broncos in his own personal experience or how he runs his team. I mean, as a head coach of one of these teams, you're speaking for, you know, not only your team, but, you know, the NFL.
And
this was
owner.
Something that... And for the owner, and this wasn't something that just happened. I mean, this just happened. I mean, this is recent. This isn't months ago. This just recently happened where we were talking about this new rule and trying to incentivize it. mm-hmm. and how it made black coaches feel. And, you know, to Chris's point, you know, as a white guy, you don't want to feel like the only reason you got this job is because you're white. I mean, it's, again, it's hard for people that don't, everyone sees color. I mean, let's face it, everyone sees color, but
yeah.
I mean, it's hard for someone, and I had this conversation with my wife last night, to wrap your head around people hating somebody because of the color of their skin. Like, it's still like to think about it. And I said this, it doesn't make any sense to me. So it's hard, you know, it's hard to even, we all know it exists, but it's still crazy to me that we're in 2020 and we've come this far and it's something we're still talking about.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, when you look at it that way, it's tough because you would think that we would have gone a lot farther, you know, with this being 2020. I remember, you know, my parents talking to me about Jim Crow and growing up in South Carolina in the 50s and 60s and how things were and the separate water fountains and walking to school when other kids took the bus. Like, it was different. The world was different and things have gotten better, but we still have a long ways to go. And I think that's the thing that we all have to recognize. We're not as far down the road in terms of winning the fight against racism as we might believe we are. And so I just think that everybody has to take a step back and listen to the black and brown Americans that are saying that we're tired of being marginalized. Just listen. And you listen to try to understand. Don't listen to be defensive and respond. And I think that's the big thing right now. We just want somebody to hear us. We want to make sure that America sees us. And based on the protests and the demonstrations that we've been seeing, not just domestically, but internationally, it feels like we're being seen. Now, I would like the people that are in leadership positions, our elected officials, to follow suit and let us know that you see us and that you value us. But, I mean, this is a huge step forward, in my opinion, just because it seems like we have some semblance of solidarity around this issue in trying to combat racism in this country. Hadn't felt like this in a long time. A
couple of players commented on what Vic Fangio said. We'll get to the calls on this in a moment. 800-919-3776. Seahawks running back Chris Carson, very upset, said this is a joke of a tweet on Tuesday night. And Seahawks teammate Quandre Diggs also weighed in on Twitter asking, is he actually blind? So, you know, players are calling him out, and I think rightfully so. I mean, it's really a tone-deaf reaction to the state of the NFL.
Dave, the fact that there's still an issue in the NFL, like, it bothers me and doesn't make any sense to me. That's why, I mean, I said I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. I mean, you know, I had my first year coaching last year, right? And what you want to do as a coach to inspire, you know, in this case, it's high school kids, is to get to know each kid and find ways to relate to each of the kids on your team, right? Because you're going to ask them to give you everything that they have. You're talking about a league where, what is it, 75% of your players
mm-hmm.
are black?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I own the business and 75% of my employees are men of color, like, in relating to your players is really important as a head coach. Wouldn't you figure that would be something that you would consider when deciding who the next head coach was going to be?
Yes.
As opposed to not?
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you've already had black head coaches that have had success. So there's already a track record of success. Why would you be hesitant to hire somebody that can actually relate to 75% of your workforce? That seems ridiculous to me. It didn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to any one of us, but I think that's a question to ask NFL owners. I know they've made Roger Goodell the commissioner and he's the face of all their decisions, but we keep talking about this issue of race in our country and inequality, and the thing that we keep coming back to is that this is a heart issue. And if you're not going to commit to being a part of the solution to all of these racial problems in this country, then you got to check your heart. And I think this is one of those times where we look at the NFL owners and we say, it's not enough for your teams to issue statements. We want to hear from you. We want to hear how you're going to be a part of the solution. We want to hear how you're going to try to fight to find answers to the systemic oppression that we've seen from toward black and brown Americans in this country. Like, that's what we want. Like, as much as we want to criticize Madison Square Garden and James Dolan for not making an official statement, the fact that he was willing to come out yesterday afternoon and say something personally about how he felt about racism in this country, that's a step in the right direction. That's what we want to hear. We want you to take it as personal as we've been taking it for decades and decades and decades.
Let's go to
and until the
calls.
Rest of America does that, we're not going to fix this issue.
I think everyone, most, I should say, Chris, agree with you. Let's go to a couple calls before we take a break and come back. Let's start out with Anthony and Warren. Anthony, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to make a quick statement about this racism discussion. I think something that is heavily misunderstood in this country is that racism is hate. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't sometimes have to do with hate, but what racism is someone taught from birth that someone is of lesser value and a lesser being than you. Most racists, I would say 90% of them, don't even know they are racist because they were programmed since birth to think this way. They say things like, I'm not racist, I have black friends, but they're the ones locking the door and clutching their purse. This isn't about hating someone. It's thinking they're of lesser value than you. It's not always about hate. You understand what I mean? It's just that program from birth, that being taught that this person is less than you.
And yeah, but here's the other thing, though, too. Here's the other thing. We've talked about this a couple different times. I mean, you're right. This is a top behavior. You're not born a racist. I think a lot of it has to do with, too, being lazy. It's being lazy. It's not getting, you know, not taking the time to get to know somebody, just dealing in stereotypes. I think that's part of the problem.
Agreed.
Well, I mean, the definition of racism is somebody discriminating against other people because they believe that because of their skin color, they're superior. That's the definition of racism. So, I mean, we've been saying that this entire time. Like, to believe that you are inherently better than someone else just based on skin color alone is ignorant.
Ignorant. And it's sad.
Yeah, but I think Chris, to his point, where I disagree a little bit is the whole, you know, I have black friends. Like, that, you shouldn't have to say that. We all understand that you shouldn't have to say that. But I don't know. I mean, I'll ask you the question. And again, so say, you know, say you're, you know, somewhere, and he's talking about clutching the purse and everything else. Is that being racist or being lazy and just going off of a stereotype? Like, this is an intimidating black guy. So, you know what I mean? Is that racist?
Well, I mean, it's a fine line. I mean, we all have preconceived notions or ideas about things, but to go as far as to feel threatened by those things is an entirely different matter. And I think that's what that last caller was getting at. I think we have to be careful with that. I think that's where the conversation and dialogue has to happen. Like, do you feel a way when you walk into a room and you're in the minority if you're a white American? And if you do, then why is that? And let's have that conversation. I mean, I was watching that ABC special last night, and Michael Strahan was saying that, you know, if you exhibit a certain degree of anger, then that's taken as being a threatening posture by some because we're black. And so, again, I don't want to be critical of anybody at this time as much as I want to have the conversations and let's talk about it. Let's try to understand one another's perspective so we can move past whatever fears or whatever misconceptions that one party may have with the other, that white folks may have with black folks. So I just think that's where we have to focus when we're trying to deconstruct this racism that's systemic in our country. I think that's where we have to fight those fights by being able to have communication with one another and try to understand each other.
I think what he just said, Dave, I think there's where sometimes there's a disconnect where in situations like that is you don't know the person, but you're just under the impression that because I'm white, they think I'm a racist and don't like, you know what I mean? It's like a weird, like, why else would you say, well, I'm not racist, I have black friends? Like, you're going under the premise that person assumes that you're a racist because you're white.
Yeah, if you lead with that, most black people are going to feel like you're racist.
Yeah, well, no, I know, exactly
be,
right.
That shouldn't have to be your defense.
Of course, I know, but it's a statement. It's a terrible statement to make.
I know, but it by definition is a racist statement. But that person may not be a racist. They're just trying to prove to a black person that they're not racist. Because they just assume because I'm white, you think I'm racist.
Well, that's not fair either.
Exactly.
But I think that's the disconnect. I think that's the disconnect. It's the reason why I said it's laziness is because it's using assumptions in stereotypes to think some person is a certain way.
But Rick, because we've been on the wrong end of experiencing that for so many years in this country, we're not looking to return that level of discrimination or that level of judgment. That's not what we want to be about. That's not what this movement is about. This is about the fight for equality. We don't want to be viewed as better than. We just want to be viewed as equals. We just want our contributions to this country to be appreciated as much as everybody else's. And for that, Chris, you need to recognize our personhood.
You're exactly right. And hopefully we're at a point where people do just listen and do whatever they can to help as we move forward. But what you just described is foreign to a lot of white people.
Yeah.
That experience doesn't, they've never experienced that before.
That's sad.
Well, it is sad, but I mean, that's why it's an uphill fight is because a lot of white people don't have those same kind of experiences.
Have you turned your man cave into your home office? Well, here's your chance to upgrade your work at home experience with an Amazon Echo. We'll give you three chances a day through Thursday, which is tomorrow, to win a smart speaker for your home office. To enter, it's so easy. Email us a photo of your work from home setup at 98.7 FM at ESPN.com with the subject line Echo, ECHO. Include your name and phone number. Again, that's 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. Then just tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. I mean, could we make it any easier, Rick? It's so easy.
Oh, it's impossible. I mean, it couldn't get any easier than that.
No. Very, very easy.
I mean, maybe you should think about doing something with your man cave or get a man cave.
Well, I don't really have a man cave.
Upgrade the basement. I mean, you're in the basement right now, aren't you? Upgrade that thing.
Yeah, but I'm in kind of my home studio. I don't want to have to come down here to watch games.
Yeah, see, that's a great point. That was my conundrum, too. She was like, well, we can build it in the basement. I'm like, I don't want to go up and stay. I don't want to go down the basement to watch TV.
Right.
No interest.
Right. And then I like to watch with the kids and Sherry, too. So we're not going to, as a family, just go down to the basement.
And a remodel of the living room is out of the question, correct?
It seems that way now, yes.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's a forever definitive no, but right now I don't know. I can't envisioning remodeling the living room. Okay. I messed up. I totally messed up. Because we built the house. I hired a guy to pre-wire it. We set up exactly where the TV was going to go. I messed up. I don't know what else to say. I feel awful about it. I could have had three TVs. I could have had a ticker. I could be living your life.
That's why it's important to get other perspectives, Dave. Maybe you could have avoided this little issue that you're facing. Just saying.
Yeah. It's a valid point. I really messed up. But we have a 55-inch TV in the kitchen.
Yeah, that seems like, I mean, that seems, that's nice.
You need
nice.
More inches, Dave.
I don't know. 55 works pretty good.
You need more inches, man. Just saying, a nice 80-inch TV really brings it home for you, Dave. I'm just saying.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. All right, all this TV talk, it's unbelievable. Let's go. Let's hear some sound and start out the segment the right way. This is probably
just waiting on the sound.
Yeah,
just waiting on the sound.
Anytime.
Just waiting on the sound.
Sound would be ready.
Santiago, just some sound for CNT
anytime,
would be nice.
Really, any sound of this. Well, you just play Woj. We'll talk under that. Anything you have, Santi. There we go.
There it is.
Right. Here we go. NBA edition CMT. Nice and tidy, boys. Let's keep this nice and tidy.
All right.
Because I don't want to get a text message yelling at me. So here we go. I'm going to start you off with this one. Now, this is going to seem crazy, but it was the only way I could figure out how to get a Nick into the into the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you Rudy Gobert.
Uh-huh.
Jokic and Mitchell Robinson.
What are you giving me? Like, I have to choose those three just players?
Have you not played the game before?
Well, yeah, but you said it was a question. So is that what, so I'm choosing between those two.
There's no question in the game. The game is, I'm going to give you three players. You got to pick one to marry,
all right, well,
pick
this
one
is,
to
this
cuddle,
is, this
and pick
is, I
one
mean,
to kill.
To marry, Chris, is just, it's simple.
It's Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic is clearly the marrying one. Santi?
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Beautiful. Chris, I think we're going to be in agreement here. You know,
probably hope, not. Probably
you don't
not.
Think, really?
Probably not going to be in agreement there.
So why don't you go ahead then?
Okay, I'm going to cuddle Mitchell Robinson just because I think Rudy Gobert is a bad guy. I'm trashing Rudy Gobert based on what he did back on March 12th. Trashing him. I got no use for him.
Wow.
Donovan Mitchell may be over it, but I'm not. Trashing Rudy Gobert, cuddling Mitchell Robinson,
let me ask you a serious
marrying
question
Jokic.
Let me ask you a serious question. If Gobert did not have the incident with the reporters and in the locker room, would you feel the same way or would you be cuddling Gobert?
No, I probably wouldn't feel the same way. I mean, the conversations around Mitchell Robinson is that he can eventually develop into somebody like Rudy Gobert, somebody that's capable of winning Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, I mean, Rudy Gobert is an all-star. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm going to trash an all-star to cuddle up to Mitchell Robinson. So if we didn't have what happened in March a part of the equation, then I would probably cuddle Rudy Gobert. That said, we can't undo what happened in the past. It happened. So I'm going to cuddle Mitchell Robinson.
All right. I'm still going to marry Jokic. We both will. And I'm going to cuddle Gobert.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I understand what he did was wrong. He donated a large sum of money following that, and he's a better player than Mitchell Robinson. We've shown that I'm about putting the best possible team, person, player selection out there. I'll marry Jokic. I'll cuddle Gobert, and I will trash Mitchell Robinson.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, here we go. Here's the next one. I'm gonna save. I mean, what should be? It's gonna be easy for Canty because I already know who he loves. But we'll save that one just because it's the biggest names. I'm gonna give you. Ready for this one? I'm gonna give you Jason Tatum, Anthony Davis, and Pascal Siakam.
Wow. All right, Chris, you wanna go? You want me to go?
I mean, I can go. It's up to you, Dave.
Go ahead. Start out.
All right. So I am going to, and I know this is going to surprise Rico, I'm going to marry Jason Tatum.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry.
I like that.
And I know you're saying, like, why are you going to do that? Anthony Davis is a top seven player in the world. Well, yeah, AD is a top seven player in the world, probably the best big man in basketball. But when it's crunch time, you could run into a little bit of a problem in terms of having a closer if you only had AD as your focal point. So I'm going to go with the guy that I believe will evolve into a top five player in the league at some point throughout his career, and that would be one Jason Tatum. Of course, I'm going to cuddle up to Anthony Davis for all the other reasons I just outlined. He's the best big man in basketball. So I'm going to cuddle up to him, and
bombs
I'm going to trash Pascal Siakam. As much respect as I have for him in turning himself into an all-star caliber player, I just think that those other two guys, in terms of upside and in terms of productivity, are on another level.
All right, I'm going to start at the bottom and move my way up here, and I'm going to agree with Chris. I'm going to trash, and it's difficult to do because he's a terrific player and he's really, you know, improved, but Pascal Siakam is the one that I will move on from.
Firmly. Look at this garbage. Look at this
Siakam
garbage.
Was a beast in those finals, though, Dave.
A beast.
Was a beast in the finals.
A beast. A great player. Listen, it's not like any of the three that you gave me are not sensational players, but I have to trash one, and that's the one I choose to trash. And I'm going to disagree with you, Chris. I'm going to cuddle Jason Tatum. Great player, yes. Younger player, yes. But not the same kind of player as Anthony Davis.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And then I will fully and warmly embrace and marry the great Anthony Davis.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And there you have it.
I like that. All right, how about this one? Kristaps Porzingis, Montrezl Harrell, and Bam Adebayo.
Montrezl Harrell and Adebayo. He's a very good player, Adebayo. All right, I'm going to start this one. I'm gonna start out by trashing to get that out of the way. I'm gonna trash Montrezl Harrell.
Wow!
Look at this guard.
Three very nice players, but to me, he's I'm gonna trash him. This is not easy, and I still have some feelings about KP, but I'm gonna cuddle Adebayo. I think the upside of him
bombs
is
bombs and hellacious seeds.
Tremendous, and the organization he plays in will do the best to get the most out of him. And I know health is a concern, and it should be, but the upside is there, and he's a terrific player. And to go along with Luka Doncic, I'll marry. I wish I married him here in New York, but I will still marry Kristaps Porzingis.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Okay, I've got the exact same order as Dave. I'm marrying KP. I just think, you know, he does have that potential. And then, of course, having him with Luka Doncic, I just feel like that's going to come out even more so down in Dallas. So I'm going to marry him. I am going to cuddle Bam Adebayo. He's an all-star. He doesn't just do it at one end of the court. He's a two-way player. He's gritty. He's tough. And I think that, you know, when you look at his productivity, you can understand why he's a guy that would be, you know, a starting caliber player. Montrezl Harrell, he's a nice player, but he's a rotational player, a role player of sorts. So I would trash him. Although I do appreciate what he brings to the table.
Look at this garbage!
All right, here we go. Final one for today's CMT. Mm-hmm. I want to keep this thing tight. I'm going to give you LeBron, Kawhi, and Julius Randle. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. LeBron, Kawhi, or Giannis, the Greek freak, Antetokounmpo.
Now, and it's all in play, right?
Everything is in play.
Oh,
load management, age, all of it.
Yeah, it's all in play.
Come on, man. You know what this is. You know what this is, Dave.
This is ageist is what he's doing. you're a rabid ageist here. That's what he's doing. Chris, why don't you go ahead? I need a moment to wrap my head around this one.
Well, I mean, listen, we generally look at the NBA in 3-year cycles, and I'm just sitting here looking at it as it stands today, and there's no reason to think that 3 years from now LeBron James won't still be competing for championships. So how could you not marry him?
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'm marrying LeBron James, and then I am going to cuddle, and this is probably going to surprise some people, I'm going to cuddle the guy in this group that doesn't have a championship yet. I'm cuddling Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Bombs and
I just think with the potential
Kawhi.
That's there and the upside, I just think that at some point he's going to break through. He's going to figure it out. You know, he'll eventually end up winning a championship, although I don't think it'll happen this year. And then I'm going to trash Kawhi Leonard.
Look at this garbage!
Wow. All right, we're going to disagree here, and I want this understood for the record. Before people come after me, is that age is a huge factor. And Chris, you're right. 3 years from now, LeBron James probably will still be a player that is competing for championships. But 10 years from now, he won't. And Giannis probably will. So as difficult as this is now, if the question was posed this postseason, I'm marrying LeBron. But I'm going to do this the sacrilege here. I'm going to trash LeBron James.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
And I understand that people all over are going to be, you know, freaking out about this and getting very upset about this. I get it, but this is what I have to do. He's what, 36 years old? Does he have more than 3, maybe 4? I mean, what are the odds of this guy's playing at this level at 40? So this for me is strictly age. I will trash LeBron. I will cut, and I understand your reservations, Chris. I don't blame you. I will cuddle Kawhi.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I will marry, solely on age, Giannis.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And there you have it.
Wow. That was spicy.
The level of disrespect, though. Oh,
but it's not meant to be disrespectful.
I'm just saying.
Rick, when you created this monstrosity of a question, you know that you did it with the thought of, listen, age is a factor. I'm going to put them in a tough spot.
Exactly right.
So you don't think I'm crazy with my choices?
No, I don't think you're crazy. Well, a little bit. Yeah, I can't. I mean, in no world.
So where
would
you have gone there?
In no world am I trashing LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
No world.
So you wouldn't, would you have married Giannis?
Would I have married? No, I probably would have married LeBron still, yeah.
So you still would marry LeBron?
I think I would marry LeBron, cuddle Kawhi, and I would trash Giannis.
How can you do this?
I think that's spicy. That's spicy to me.
He's 25.
Well, I don't care how old he is.
He's a top three player in the NBA, and he's 25.
That's spicy.
Yeah, it's spicy, but the teams have found a way to take him out of a game, to shut him down.
Yes,
I don't think you can take Kawhi or LeBron out of a game. I don't care. I'm in the moment. I don't care if LeBron's going to be bald soon. I like his whatever.
So if you were the Knicks and you could have right now LeBron or Giannis for just forever, you would take LeBron and assume that his 3 to 5 years would be better than the 12 to 15.
No, my New York Knicks aren't ready to win yet. I'm talking about now for the next couple of years. Like, gives me the best chance to win a championship. LeBron's the best point guard in the NBA.
But that your question wasn't who gives you the best chance to win a championship now. I agree with that. Your question was over the duration. It was everything. It was all baked into one.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of it, now I'm married to, I mean, maybe the second greatest player of all time.
Maybe.
So that's on my resume. And on top of it, LeBron, all of a sudden I got Space Jam 2. I got Clutch Sports. I mean,
and you're going to have a GoFundMe decision for Giannis. Yeah, things are really going to be awful for him.
No, but I mean, I got all those other interests, all those other things, you know, baked in. We'll have such a good relationship in this marriage. He won't make me sign a prenup. So I mean, I'm rolling.
He might make you sign a prenup.
Dave,
I mean, I'm married Giannis. I'm gonna have a guide to the Greek Isles. I'm gonna be able to walk through Greece and have someone tell me, oh, this is the Parthenon. Look at this. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but chances of Giannis, I mean, the second you walk onto a beach in Greece with your swim shirt, you're done. You're done. He'll divorce you.
I thought Dave got rid of the swim shirt. I thought
it's
not a thing anymore.
It's possible.
He'll always wear the swim shirt.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he went on the diet, Rico. He lost all that
weight. Yeah, but that doesn't solve the skin issue and the skin tag issue.
No skin tags.
He does.
Looks like he's got Rice Krispies just floating all
Stop
over.
Stop it. You're obnoxious.
Wow.
You really are. Obnoxious. Bad guy.
Moles and just skin.
Yeah, moles. Just people. Extra people. I take my shirt off. I have like little leprechauns that pop off my skin.
Lower back tattoo is weird.
No, oh, yes.
Give a skin tag a shape up.
Bad guy.
Oh,
you really are,
oh, man.
And this proved my point. You know, I defend you.
I thought that was a fair question. It was a good question that caused some. I mean, that caused some.
That was a good question.
That we're looking for disagreement.
We had three different answers. That was a good question.
The fact that you're trashing Giannis is unbelievable, though.
Well, what are you talking about? I mean, Kawhi. I mean, you can make the argument. Kawhi is. I mean, what he did in the playoffs, getting Toronto to a championship. I know I don't like the load management stuff, but I mean, has the ball in his hands, can distribute.
I cuddled him. I didn't trash
mid-range. Mid-range is ridiculous.
Rico, you trashing Giannis is spicier than Dave trashing LeBron.
Oh. Probably. Yeah, just with age and everything, yeah, probably.
Age. Right. Yeah. That was my entire answer was via age. That's it.
Yeah, but you called me an ageist, so now I'm on the defensive.
You are.
Now I gotta go opposite.
It does seem like you're an ageist when you trash the second greatest basketball player of all time.
That's Dave. Dave's the ageist.
Yeah, yeah, maybe I am.
Me too.
I'm Belichickian. I'm diabolical. I do what it takes to win. He's the Richard Seymour of this equation right here.
You're like Shooter McGavin. You don't like old people or dogs. You're a bad guy.
I love both old people and dogs. And old dogs, my favorite. Elderly dogs.
Just the kids want a dog so bad. I'm just fighting it so hard. So hard.
Don't do it, Rico.
Going
don't
on
do
in
it.
This house.
Oh, my
you
God.
Absolutely
every,
do it. Absolutely.
Every 2 seconds.
Get a dog.
Every 2 seconds.
Because you know it's going to be on you, right? You're going to end up having to take care of the dog.
Oh, of course it is. 100%
it's going to be. That's a big question. Fenced in yard?
Yeah, I have a fenced in yard.
You get the dog.
Well, who's going to go pick up the poop? Me.
There's a company that you can hire. The company.
This is where we didn't know. I can listen. You want to come cut the bushes and then cut the sprinkler? You can do that. You can mulch. I would pick up my own dog's poop.
All right, so you can do that. You can walk outside with the dog, or just watch him, and then when he poops, go outside, run out there, and clean it up.
Or I could potty train him. Did you see? By the way, speaking of potty training, I didn't bring this up at the time because I forgot because my mind is all over the place. Did you see the video of the dog that's potty trained?
No.
That goes to the toilet.
On a toilet?
He goes to the toilet, pees into the toilet, and then flushes the toilet himself.
Wait, does he sit on the toilet?
No.
Or he lifts the seat and stands in front of the toilet?
Lifts the seat, puts
Come
his
on.
Leg up right, shoots directly into the toilet, and then he flushes it. Amazing.
I can't get my 9-year-old to lift the seat. You got a dog that lifts the seat?
Yes. Could you imagine that? How great would that be?
No, that is unbelievable. There's still a lot to do. We'll get into this, the Knicks statement that went out. for a second time, the internal memo. So we'll get into that in a couple moments. Reaction to that. Vic Fangio, still something we want to get into. And Tony Dungy's reaction to that and observations at 12:30. But here's some good news. And every time we have a chance to discuss something positive about the return of sports, I think we should. Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL chief medical officer, was on the Schefter podcast. And guys, listen to what he says about the start of football in September.
Obviously, none of us have a crystal ball, and we have to acknowledge that there's some unique features of this virus that we can't predict. But if we were to continue to track on the course that we seem to be right now, I feel optimistic about us being back and playing football this fall and on the schedule that we've outlined. So that's what we're working toward. That's what we're preparing for.
That would be beautiful. I mean, just to hear that, just to get positive pieces of news about the return of sports, and you know, it potentially could be great. September 10th to be locked in watching the NFL is a very exciting proposition.
And what is that game? Texans Chiefs?
Yeah, but it could be anybody, right?
Yeah, it could be anybody. But you're seeing two top five quarterbacks in the NFL go at it for the first game of the NFL regular season. Like that's spicy, Dave. Like I'm excited for that. But, I mean, I guess we're having good news continue to trickle in about the NFL, you know, and what their plan is in terms of being able to get back to business as usual. I mean, yesterday Adam Schefter tweeted that the NFL informed all teams that they are going to have their training camps at their team's facilities. And we've talked about this before about how the team facilities are often better than those remote training camp sites because you have all the amenities that the players need in order to get their body to be ready to go. And so I just think that that's another positive. It just lets you know that the NFL is confident after watching this few weeks of the ramp-up period with opening the facilities and allowing employees back to work. To me, that just signals that all is going well on that front. And so, yeah, although we're not going to have any OTAs, no mini camps, I don't think fans much care. I mean, the fact is that they opened up the facilities. We haven't heard about any incidents where there's been any outbreaks of the coronavirus. And the plan as of now is to allow teams to start training camp on time at their normal facilities.
Which is great. I mean, which is exactly what we want. I mean, there's still a ton of different things that need to be figured out. But the fact that there is, you know, this level of positivity is great.
Yeah, the fact that the chief NFL doctor is saying that, yeah, of course things can change, but the trajectory we're heading on right now is that we will have NFL, and he didn't even just say we're going to have it. He said, as we sit right now, we're going to have it on time, and I know that things can change a million times, but that's very optimistic news.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, at this point, you have, you know, your facilities, I guess, are somewhat open, but it doesn't sound like the players are going to be back until training camp. But there's still, I mean, there's still the chance, and you're seeing this over with Japanese baseball, that you have and listen, baseball's different than football. We all understand that. I mean, I don't fully feel comfortable saying that something couldn't happen where it goes through a team, COVID goes through the team, and things change.
Of course it could.
So you want, I mean, it's no optimistic. Idea. Yeah, that's great, but they still really have no idea.
No, we have no idea, but it's nice. Listen, how many times do we turn on the microphones nowadays and it's negativity from sports to the world to anything? So to actually have a statement of a guy that's a decision maker in the NFL to say, you know what, as we sit here on June 2nd, June 3rd, we're heading in the right direction and it looks positive.
Yeah, but it seems Captain Obvious, though. My point is it seems Captain Obvious. You haven't even, I mean, these guys are all still self-quarantining. I mean, you haven't had anyone that this isn't, you're doing Zoom, you know, Zoom meetings. It's great that you want to be optimistic, but it's, I mean, still, you really don't know. It's not like you've had a couple of weeks where everybody's been in the facility and things have been great and no one's testing positive.
Well, you haven't had the players in there, but you're starting to get coaches in there, and you've had front office personnel in there and other club employees, and you haven't had any situations, at least any that we know of. So I think that's a good sign. That's definitely a positive. And then for one of the NFL's top doctors to come out and say that this is what he anticipates, that things are going to start on time and that they're going to have training camps at these teams' facilities, it just feels like everything is moving toward the right direction. So, I mean, I guess that I'm willing to take it as a win and to take it as positive news, even though it does seem a little Captain Obvious. I'm willing to look at it and say this is a good sign for the sport.
No, don't get me wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy. Like, I mean, the fact that the NBA is going to vote and they're going to come back and the NFL is looking forward to starting on time and having, you know, the season start September 10th. That's great. But it's just, I mean.
Well, the one thing I will say, Rick, I think the NFL, since they've had the benefit of more time than any other of these professional sports leagues, I hope that they've put certain policies in place in order to mitigate any transmission of the coronavirus once everybody is back in the building. Like, the NFL has had more time to plan than baseball, basketball, or hockey.
Yeah. But of course they have, right?
Exactly. Just because of how the schedule, just because of how the calendar falls. So to me, they have to make sure that they take full advantage of the fact that they have had so much time and make sure that they put the measures in place in order to keep everybody as safe as possible. And that includes having a plan for the eventuality that somebody is going to test positive from coronavirus. Being to identify that player, being able to isolate that player so it doesn't run rampant throughout the facility and throughout your organization. I think that's probably one of the most important things that they can do with the time as far as planning how this thing is going to look. But the fact that this doctor came out and said this, I think that that's a sign that the NFL is confident in their plan moving forward.
I distinctly hope so. And if that's the case, we're less than 100 days for the start of the NFL.
99 days, Dave. That's 99
right.
days.
But who's counting? all right. So we discussed it yesterday, the really lack of a statement from the Knicks and from James Dolan, who basically said he didn't feel like they were equipped to make a statement. Less than 24 hours after that, there was an internal memo that went out from the Knicks. He says, yesterday I made a sincere attempt to provide my perspective on a very difficult issue, one that has no easy answers. I know how important this topic is to so many, and I do not want there to be any confusion about where I am as an individual or we as a company stand. So let me be clear. We vehemently condemn and reject racism against anyone, period. And I guess a lot of people are kind of bothered by the fact that 24 hours ago he said he wasn't qualified, and then 24 hours later, Chris, he says a distinct statement. I wish that the Knicks and Dolan would have come out with the statement instead of the initial statement that was leaked.
Yeah, because I guess the court of public opinion feels like he was pushed to come out and say something, right? Because of all the criticism that they received for not officially making a statement and having that internal memo leaked. But the one thing I will say that's a positive is that he came out and personally condemned racism. Now, how many owners can we say have come out and done that? So I guess that's the part of it where I look at it and I say, good for James Dolan. Now, is it a little bit clunky in terms of the process in which which led him to eventually make that statement? Yeah, it is. It's more awkward if you don't issue an official statement than if you do. Like, there was nothing to be gained by not saying something publicly, you know, as an entity, as the MSG company, Knicks, Rangers. When you didn't come out and say anything, everybody was kind of looking at you strange. It was only you and the San Antonio Spurs, and even with the Spurs, their head coach, who is essentially the face of their franchise, Greg Popovich, has come out and said a lot of things regarding social injustice and racism. But the Knicks haven't had anybody do that other than their players. And I feel like these professional sports teams have an obligation. You know, if you're going to be on the forefront of social issues in this country, this is one of those things that you can't afford to remain silent on.
Now, a lot of players apparently not happy with the owner of the Knicks. Malika Andrews, SportsCenter, says NBA players are upset with the remarks from James Dolan.
There's been a lot of frustration and disappointment. And I'm going to start with within the Knicks organization. You know, there's a lot of people who felt like this was an opportunity where sports teams have been making statements about what is going on in the world as a profession that is built on majority black men. And the Knicks were one of two teams as of last night that hadn't made a statement. The other was the Spurs, but Greg Popovich gave a very in-depth interview. But it's not just the Knicks that are frustrated with this sentiment. I've heard from presidents, from GMs, from players of other teams also getting in contact with me saying, what's going on over there? That doesn't seem right, and that doesn't sit well with us, especially in light of the fact, Sage, that Dennis Smith Jr., a player for the Knicks, was out protesting in the streets with other people about the death of George Floyd. And so this really is upsetting a lot of people around the NBA.
And I understand why it would. And it is upsetting because I don't think you ever should have come out with the, you know, granted it's an eternal message, but you should have come out originally with the statement that you came out with secondarily. If the Knicks would have come out with that, Rick, originally, I think people would absolutely have praised the Knicks and James Dolan.
I don't disagree. I mean, the fact that you think you're going to send an internal memo saying that you're not going to make a statement and that's not going to leak out somehow, some way. I mean, that's, come on. In today's age, come on. Of course that's going to leak out, especially if it's not something that you agree with. So that leaks out, then, I mean, you're right. If you're willing to say what you said in the second internal email, then that should have been the initial statement.
Right.
Because you're representing not just the MSG, the Knicks, and the Rangers. I mean, you're representing both leagues. You're representing the NHL and the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta, yeah, I mean, everyone has to come together and stand for the same thing. That's what leadership is about. To give the people that you're leading direction. Like, what do we stand for? What's our mission statement? Who are we as a company or a team?
Now, as far as leadership goes, the actions that James Dolan has showed over the years show, you know, that he wants to be on the forefront of inclusivity and diversity within organizations.
But that's what makes it even more puzzling, is they've done the right, they're actually an organization that has done the right thing. You would almost feel like if any statement could be made from any team, the ones that have, I don't say the biggest right, but the ones that it really, they corroborate this, is the Knicks, because they have hired minorities for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, how many teams have a black general manager, a black head coach? You don't find it, and a black team president.
And over and over and over, right?
That's what I'm saying.
They weren't successful, but Isaiah Thomas and Perry and Alan Houston.
Steve Mills.
And Steve Mills and Derek Fisher. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, Dave. So, I mean, in terms of leading by example, that's something that James Dolan has been doing for professional sports teams, you know, hiring men of color to be at the top of the organization's hierarchy. That's something that he's done. And so for him to not issue an official statement seems a little weird. And the part that rubbed me the wrong way is that he said we're no more qualified than anybody else to speak out on this topic. And I think that was a prime opportunity to set the tone for what it should be in this country. If you're not educated, then get educated about it. Make it your business not to be ignorant about issues of race and inequality. We have to be able to acknowledge it before we can do anything about it. That was an opportunity that they missed. And that's the part where I believe that the criticism is warranted toward James Dolan. But you can't say it's because of his actions and how he's running
his
teams.
No, just the opposite. That's to me what's so frustrating. Like, the Niners come out with this tweet, which a lot of people got all over because, like, you know, you had an opportunity to do the right thing with Kaepernick and you didn't. And now you're going to come out with this tweet defending everything going on. Well, you know, it almost feels fugazi. But you have the Knicks who do the right thing, who have high, and listen, many of them have not worked out. That's not the conversation here, though.
Yeah.
The conversation is they've done the right thing. They've hired minorities endlessly.
Yeah.
So you'd think if there was one franchise that was capable and appropriate to take the side of what's going on and to denounce everything going on racially and how much do you stand up to it, it would be the Knicks. That's me what was so frustrating about it.
And then the crazy part about it is the Knicks social media account yesterday participated in Blackout Tuesday and posted the black square. So that shows you the disconnect between what was said in that internal memo and the actual feelings of people within the organizations. So yeah, I just think it's really strange. And again, I'll use the word awkward that they didn't release an official statement, but I will give James Dolan credit for his track record. And I'll also give him credit for personally going on the record in condemning racism in this country as a professional sports team owner. We haven't had a lot of owners go on the record and do that. And it's probably something that's warranted given the climate of this country.
Which I think Dave's point and your point is what makes it so confusing. I mean, of all the PR battles that they choose to fight, that just, I mean, end up falling flat on their faces. And it's just, why would you choose this? The one opportunity that you have where, I mean, how could you not be qualified to make a statement? I mean, with your track record, who plays on your basketball team? I mean, this would be the time to do it. Where, I mean, whatever you say is not going to ring hollow because you actually have, I mean, you have practiced what you're preaching now,
right?
Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't.
No, it's head scratching.
I mean, you would think too. I mean, just as the, I mean, as progressive as the NBA is too, that when something like this happens, knowing, I mean, how this is going to affect your players, that Adam Silver wouldn't have picked up the phone and had a conversation with all these different owners, all these different team presidents.
Yeah, you're right.
To just have a united front, you know?
Because the NBA has really stood up. I mean, NBA players have really taken action here, led by LeBron.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, this is what separates the NBA from the other leagues, though.
Mm-hmm. It's a true partnership.
And it's their social activism. I mean, that's what really separates them. So I'm surprised that they hadn't, with how big a deal this is and how much this means to to this country in this moment. That
and
you
the city.
Take, I mean, just the city, I mean, the people that work for you, your players. I mean, just this would be the time as leagues you'd want to come together. When you know all your players are going to speak out. Like, let's have a united front. As opposed to just doing our own things, how we see fit.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.